so fast as well as man's time, we appear light of thy divine knowledge. And open the eyes of our mind to the understanding of thy gospel teachings. Implant also in us the fear of thy blessed commandments, and trampling down all kinds of desires, we may enter upon a spiritual manner of living, all thinking and doing such things as are well pleasing to thee. Thou art the illumination of our souls and bodies, O Christ our God, and unto thee do we send up glory, together with thy Father, who is without beginning, and all the holy, good and life-creating spirit, now and ever and unto ages of ages. Let us listen to the holy gospel. Peace be unto all. The reading is from the holy gospel according to Saint Matthew. Let us attend. When the wise men departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Out of Egypt I called my son. Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation, weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted, because they are no more. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Arise, take the young child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the young child's life are dead. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee. And he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
Christ is born.
Glorify Him.
The joy of the feast be with you.
And also with you.
My attention has always been drawn in this gospel to the infants slaughtered by Herod. I found a ray of hope in this unspeakable tragedy in the prophecy that St. Matthew quotes from Jeremiah, where the note of resurrection sounds clearly as the e-song of light that the darkness of Herod's cruelty cannot silence. Jeremiah's Rachel weeping for her children, especially since the name means mother sheep and ewe, is the Theotokos, weeping over the cruelties of the world, while her son identifies completely with these slaughtered infants by becoming himself the innocent one slaughtered by a different Herod on the cross. And so the prophecy from Jeremiah, behold, a voice is heard in Ramah, Rachel weeping for her children, it takes us to the cross, where we also find again the Theotokos weeping inconsolably over the death of her son, the unjust death of her son on the cross, as we hear on Great and Holy Friday night. By his cross, however, the Lord destroys death. He sanctifies these infants and makes them righteous ones, so that they are celebrated in the church as martyrs. By his cross he destroys death, and he raises them into the eternal life of his heavenly kingdom. This has been the substance of what I've spoken on before, what I said before, when I have preached from this gospel, focusing on this riddle, unspeakable tragedy of Herod slaughtering the infants. But this year, my attention is drawn to Joseph and to Herod and to the angel of the Lord. I am struck by how carefully Joseph protects the mother and her son. I see in his actions a complete selflessness. His unquestioning obedience to the angel of the Lord in everything pertaining to his betrothed, the Virgin Mary, and her son, bears witness that Joseph was indeed a righteous man. In his diligent protection of Mary and her son, he is in effect denying himself and losing his own life for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Mary, his betrothed, for Mary, the mother of his Lord, God, and Savior, Jesus Christ. This, of course, is in sharp contrast to Herod, the king of Israel. Herod's concern is to save his life. Exhibiting all the marks of a toxic narcissist, he sends his soldiers throughout the land to slaughter all the innocent children 2 years and under to protect his kingship, an act of cowardice and cruelty of the highest order. So reflecting on Joseph and on Herod, the question comes, very simply, in whose company would you like to be found? Would you like to be found keeping company with the righteous Joseph or with the narcissistic Herod? That is to say, would you like to be found in the church or in the society of the world? For we see in Joseph an image of the bishops, the hierarchs of the church, and their priests, protecting the church, where the Lord is working in us to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we should ask or think, that we may know the love of Christ and be filled with all the fullness of God himself. Whereas in Herod we see an image of the world, under the authority of the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is working in the children of disobedience. Let's contemplate these contrasting images more closely. But together, let's bring in the angel of the Lord. Who is this angel? And who is the Lord whose angel he is? And in this connection, let's contemplate this energy or this power that is working in the church and the energy or the power that is working in the world, in the children of disobedience. What are these different energies? Whose energies are they? What is their respective characters? How is the energy of the church working in us? And what is it working in us? How is the energy of the world working in the children of disobedience? And what is it working in them? The picture of the Holy Family shows Joseph, as it were, holding Mary in the embrace of his protection and care of her and her child. And it shows Mary holding the Christ child in the embrace of her protection and care for him. So in the center of the Holy Family, held by Mary, who is held by Joseph, is the Christ child. Now the Christ child is the Lord. He is the pre-eternal God who has emptied himself to be born of the Virgin as a little child. But he is, even as a babe, he is still the Lord of all. He is still the creator of all. He is still the sustainer of all. He is still the one in whom and from whom and for whom all things exist. It must be then that the angel of the Lord, who I would guess is Gabriel, is the angel of the Christ child. He must therefore be the Lord who is guiding and directing the angel who is guiding and directing Joseph according to the word of the Christ child. Even when the Christ child was in the womb of Mary and the angel told Joseph to take her as his wife because the one that was conceived in her womb was of the Holy Spirit. And even when Christ was lying in the manger and he sent his angels to tell the shepherds that he was born in Bethlehem and that they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And even when he was nursing at his mother's breasts, and he sends his angel to Joseph to tell him to flee into Egypt because of what Herod is plotting. See the picture then. The Holy Family holds in the center of Joseph's embrace of Mary and of Mary's embrace of the Christ child, the Lord, the Christ child. The Holy Family receives its holiness and its guidance and its direction from within, from the Christ child who is at the center. For though he is a babe, yet he is still the pre-eternal God. He is sanctifying and he is directing them for a purpose, to protect him in his vulnerability as a human infant, so that, as St. Luke says, he may grow and increase in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man, so that as a man he may voluntarily ascend the cross and descend into the tomb, where he, the light of the world, will shine in the darkness, and where he, the resurrection and the life, will destroy death by his death and open the gates of paradise, so that these righteous ones who were slaughtered by infants by Herod may enter, and so that all who want to may enter and be restored to their original beauty and to their natural destiny of joy and peace in union with him. For he is the image in whom we have all been made, together with his Father and his all-holy, good, and life-giving Spirit. We see in this picture of the Holy Family, then, we see an image of the church on two levels. Let's call the one the visible level. Let's call the other the invisible level. On the visible level, Joseph is the bishop, the hierarchy, the bishops and their priests who serve under the blessing of the bishop. So Joseph represents the hierarchy, the bishops of the church, who hold in the embrace of their protective care and guidance the laity. They are the image of Mary. And the laity, the faithful, images of Mary, hold in their embrace the Christ child, whom they have received into themselves in Holy Eucharist. And the source of all authority and power in the church, on the visible level, is the Christ child, who is within, was inside. The authority of the church does not come from outside. It comes from inside the church, from the Christ child, who governs, who directs, who sanctifies, and gives life from within our midst. Christ's Spirit is the energy that is at work in the church. It is the Spirit of life, of cleansing, of illumination, of sanctification, deification, raising us from death to life in God and transforming us from flesh to spirit. This energy of the Holy Spirit works in the church, not as the hierarch and the faithful do their own thing or act according to the wisdom of their own opinions. It does not work in the church in disobedience. nor does it produce disobedience. It works in the church in the obedience of both the laity and the hierarchs to the word of the Lord, the Christ child who is in their midst, the pre-eternal God born as a little child. The Christ child in our midst, because he is the pre-eternal God working in us to do his good pleasure, which is our salvation, is protecting us from the Herods of the world to the degree that we remain in his embrace, to the degree that we remain, as it were, in his holy family, to the degree that we are obedient to him and not to ourselves, and as we are seeking to do his will and not our own. This then is the same thing happening on the invisible level, where our mind or our free will would be Joseph, our soul the virgin, and our heart the manger, or the sanctuary, the holy of holies, that place in us where we are deep beyond all things, that place at the root of our being where we open unto God. That is the place where the Christ child is born, and then where he is buried. And in the tomb, he opens the gates of heaven deep within us, that we may enter and come into the presence of God and into the image of God in whom we were made, whose joy and peace and eternal life we were made for. Dear faithful, if this is the mystery that we are living in, here in the church, then we are living in the energy that is working in that mystery. And that energy is working in us. It is the energy of the Lord. It is an energy of light, of life, of peace and joy. But if in our soul we are living in the world, then we are living in the energy of Herod. An energy whose work is to destroy all that is good and holy in us. Dear faithful, the simple fact that you are here this morning is concrete testimony to your desire to live in the energy of the Lord working in the church and in the hearts of the faithful. Therefore, when we leave the temple this morning, let's not leave the temple of our heart. Let's live in the world's darkness and cruelty from within our heart. Let's keep the focus of our heart not on the darkness of the world, but on the light of Christ that is shining in our darkness. For we have received him in Holy Eucharist. Let Holy Scripture, the prayers and hymns of the church, the teaching of the church, let this be what rules in our heart and mind. For all of these things carry Christ, the Christ who would, if we would let him and give ourselves to him, work in us the energy of his cross and holy tomb and raise us to life in the joy and the love of his holy mother for her son, and of the Son for his mother. Amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.